Let's kind of start at the beginning, if you don't mind. How really did you get into violin making, or even get interested in violin making?
Well, I when I was very young in school, started playing an instrument, and I started doing violin. And I became very interested in the violin, more so than just, as an activity for school. So I ended up, my mother got me private lessons with a guy who was in the Columbus Symphony, and that's where it started at. So I basically, what happened was with the instrument making was that I could not afford to have a famous instrument and paid $19 million. So I figured since I was already an artist and a sculptor, I would learn how to make violins. So that's exactly what happened. That's the reason that I started to make the instruments, started to study.
So you said that by the time you actually got the idea to try your hand at making a violin, you had already discovered that you were an artist and liked to do things, I guess, in that sense with your hands. What kinds of artwork had you done at that point?
Well, I have done lots of studies and replicas of old master works. So anything from old masters to the impressionist, and just I go pretty far with it. I make my own stretcher bars and stretch linen, and I'm very big at reproducing and replicating something that means so much to me. So that's exactly what happened with the instruments. But the instrument making did not happen until later in my life. With playing the violin, when I was became in the teenage years, I kind of lost interest in it. So it did come back to me later in life, and I started to play again, and then that's what happened, and with the art and how that shifted over to the violin making.
About how old were you around that shift into violin making?
I'd say I was in my late 20s, maybe about. See, the thing is, when I moved out from the city, I lost track of time because things stand still, basically, out there. I spent most of my youth out where I was in the country, in Laurelville. So things went by pretty quickly. But I would say at least maybe 25, 26 is when I started at the violin making. And it was never a consistent thing. I made one instrument, the first instrument that I made, which was a very good one. It was a Stradivari copy. It took me about a year to make. So it was not consistent with the violin making. I wish I had been, then I would be better today.
In a video recorded interview for thestrad.com, Stefan Avalos, again, the filmmaker who made the Strad-style documentary, says, and this is a quote, that you are obsessed with classical violins, with violin music, and with making violins. Is this an obsession? And if so, how did it take root with you?
I think the reason it became such a passion to me was because when I was very young, we never had cable TV, And I think that played a large role because public, television was what I watched mostly. So there was obviously lots of orchestral and violin things on there. So I remember seeing, people like Itzhak Perlman and, things like that. And I think that's where it really began to get into me, this bug for, the violin and classical music. But there's many other factors that are into this.
It sounds to me like, yes, you played the violin, when you were a kid, kind of lost interest during your teen years, as you said, but then became interested not so much in playing the violin, but in the sort of culture around the violin, the great violinists and the mystique about them and the mystique about the great violins by Stradivarius and Guarnerius and that sort of thing. Is that about right?
Yeah, and see, the thing about these instruments is you will only hear of Stradivari usually, unless you're in the violin world. The violin that I made in the movie was made by another maker. His name was Joseph Guarneri del Gesù. He basically lived in the same building as Stradivari. Stradivari was very rich in his time, and he had a large workshop. This Guarneri fellow was the complete opposite of Stradivari. He was very poor, and he would only make a few instruments at a time. And he did not become famous until Niccolo Paganini, a famous violinist, started favoring his violins. So it's funny that the movie's Strad style, because everybody thinks it's a Stradivari violin, but it's not. It's a Guarneri violin. But the thing is that the Guarneri violins are bringing more money at auction right now than most Stradivari's. and it's a very crude. The workmanship on a Guarneri violin is totally different, unlike the Stradivari, which is impeccable in craftsmanship. It's very rough and not very exacting, his work. He was more concerned about the acoustic properties of the instrument, I think, than the craftsmanship.
Tell me about the very first violin that mm-hmm. you attempted to make. Where'd you get the wood? What kind of wood was it?
It's funny because I think I actually got a couple sets off of eBay, which came from a guy in Canada. So this was Canadian maple that I was using, and it turned out really nice. I mean, for the instrument, I mean, I was surprised it turned out so well, because most people want European maple and Bosnian maple, which is very, very prized for its tonal qualities, and Alpine spruce. And, you know, for me to use these materials that were from here, I was pretty amazed for how good the instruments turned out.
This, again, this very first violin was a copy of a Stradivari.
It was. Okay. Yeah. It was a copy of from the time period, which was his golden period. I forget exactly how old he was. I'm not for sure on this, but I think he might have been around 50s when his golden period. And the golden period is the early 1700s for him.
So how did you acquire the plans for this Stradivarius violin that you replicated?
Oh, there's lots of books and things like that. But I might have even got it online. See, back when I was started to do this, and I hadn't been online much, I never had internet, I read lots of books and lots of there just was not the information out there like it is now, or videos. I'm very good at learning through videos. So that is what I did, a little bit of information I could get in books. And it's kind of hard because specific things really almost need to be shown to you as far as a construction. I'm not a woodworker. I had no knowledge whatsoever woodworking, couldn't even sharpen a tool. So I just went from that to jumping into to this violin making.
About what year was this that you started trying to reproduce this Stradivarius?
I'm not sure exactly what year. I would say about 2006. Seven-ish, I think, is when I first started to really study this on and off. It was never consistent because it was for fun. Everything that I've done was always for fun to start out. You know, my art was for fun. I did upholstery work for years. I started, that was for fun. That was another thing where I couldn't afford to have it done, so I had to learn how to do it myself. And metal engraving, I did that. All of these things usually started out as hobbies and I found I was okay at them, and then they turned into, you know, jobs almost, and then the violin making is my full-time career now.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So you started out doing all of this for fun, mm-hmm. but the documentary Strad Style, mm-hmm. again, chronicles your journey to build a replica of the 1743 Guarneri del Gesù violin known as Il Canone mm-hmm. for the Romanian concert violinist Razvan Stoica, whom you met online. So
yes.
It's no longer fun and games,
yeah.
You know, when you're having to build a high-level violin for a high-level violinist. You meet Stoica online, and you offer to make him a replica of this priceless violin, but you have no formal training.
No.
As a violin maker. So, I mean, this is a seemingly outrageous proposition. So, really, I mean, what prompted you to kind of go there?
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's pretty up there. It's, you know, I had only made a handful of instruments before this. So this was a big thing to say, hey, I can make this Canone, and it's going to be what a concert violinist needs. Because, you know, as soon as he has this, he's going to know, he's going to take it through its paces and see what it can and cannot do.
So again, in making this offer mm-hmm. to replicate this violin for Stoica, did you have any hesitation that, well, you know, maybe this could work really well, or it could just completely flame out?
Yeah.
I mean, what was sort of going through your mind?
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't know why. I just said I'm going to do this, and that's all there is to it.
Your website says, and this also comes out in the film, that mm-hmm. ritual magic and other types of energy work play a role in your violin making. So how did you get into ritual mm-hmm. magic, and how do you think it affects your violin making?
I started basically with the studies of very valuable books like the ones from Ray Buckland, who recently passed away. He was one of the first people in this country to really write on the subject of these things and witchcraft you know, it went from there, and you know, it really got to a point where I wanted to use this in a useful way in my life, but I could never really find something that was worthy of that. You know, people were using these things, you know, to win the lottery or whatever. But I finally realized that, hey, this is what I have to contribute to the violin world. And then once I started to use these methods in the construction method, which do take longer, it was interesting because I always noticed that my friends said, your violins always sound old. I don't understand. This is the first note that anyone's ever played on it. There's no way, because with violins, usually they have a play-in period. So I believe it has affected it. Basically, it's energy. Lots of things that were once magic are now basically just science.
Once again, Daniel Hauck, you are a violin maker. You are also the subject of Stefan Avalos' documentary film, Strad Style. Thanks for speaking with me today.
Oh, thank you.